Meade was outwardly cordial, professing to be glad to see Grant and offering to relinquish his command if he wanted him to. Grant did not, which pleased Meade. He was not happy when he learned that Grant intended to remain in the field and set up his headquarters just 6 miles west of Meade's at Culpeper Courthouse. Sherman had advised Grant to stay as far away from Washington's bureaucratic snake pit as he could. Grant took the advice to heart, but he had a far more important reason for parking his headquarters with the Army of the Potomac. Virginia was the last nexus for the conflict, the state where the fate of the Union and the Confederacy finally would be decided. Lee's army defending Richmond was the enemy's strongest, most seasoned, best equipped, and best led. Union victories elsewhere would not end the war, as long as Lee's force stood. Intending to crush the rebellion and end the war before the November elections, Grant devised a battle plan, which Lincoln had been urging, for heavy, coordinated blows to fall on the Confederacy in many places. Meade's army, with Grant watching it closely, would march south to chase Lee. Sherman would move south from Chattanooga to break up Johnston's army and invade the southern interior, with Georgia as its ultimate aim. As for the three political generals he couldn't replace, Grant ordered Nathaniel Banks's Army of the Gulf in Louisiana to capture Mobile and push north against the rebels in Alabama. Benjamin Butler's Army of the James was to advance up that river on the peninsula, cut the Petersburg to Richmond rail connection, and threaten the rebel capital. Franz Sigel's force in West Virginia and the Shenandoah was ordered to move up the valley to pin down its defenders and sever Lee's links to that vital region. Sharp noted approvingly that Grant sent 3 horses to Meade's headquarters, which to the intelligence chief meant that the army chief means to move with us. Knowing the prickly Meade, Sharp predicted to his uncle that the fur will fly when Grant returned. Meade would come to admire Grant and work tolerably well with him. But he could not help but feel demoted, commanding an army now with the boss literally looking over his shoulder. Cocky staff officers Grant brought with him did not hide that they thought the Potomac Army would now fight to its potential with Western men in charge. Soon reporters began referring to the force in their articles as Grant's Army, which rankled Meade.